here in the studio. Very excited to have Jean Perrotin. And she wrote the book in 2005 called Swimming Against the Stream. It's about wild swimming. Hello, Jean.
Hello.
Very Susie. Nice to have you here.
Delighted.
I set high and low to get you, and I'm delighted you instantly said yes. So thank you very much for coming in today. Now, the reason I'm getting you in, because a lot of my friends now are really into wild swimming, and I sort of get the idea why it's quite good. I do like swimming, but I think it's the outdoors bit to it, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah. Yes. So you wrote this book called Swimming Against the Stream. Why did you write this book?
Well, I was born a few years before the last World War and then and grew up swimming in the sea in Eastbourne. Then it was swimming. It wasn't called wild swimming. People in those days, as they had done for many centuries in this country, swam in the sea, as they still do, but in lakes and rivers. And by the turn of the century, it seemed that there's places where one used to swim in lakes and rivers. People weren't doing it. In lakes in particular, had sprouted up notice boards saying no swimming. And the safety organisations like ROSPA were warning people that it was very dangerous to swim and you had to swim where there were lifeguards in chlorinated water in indoor pools. And I wondered why and whether this was necessary to make all these warnings. So I wrote the book to find out what had been happening, what the organisations that prevented us were saying and why. I wanted to see whether it really was as dangerous as people said. Now, there are two sorts of dangers. One is the health danger of picking up a disease, and much was made at the time about the dreadful Viles disease, which is, in fact, a very rare disease. It's generally not kept caught by people who are swimming and or canoeing on rivers or lakes. It's caught mainly in the winter by farmers and people working with animals. And rarely in this country does anybody die from it. I mean, occasionally, yes, but not very often.
Yeah.
So that was greatly overstated. And then there was the question of drowning. It was assumed in all the drownings in rivers and lakes were people swimming, which wasn't so. In fact, most of the people who drown fall into the river for one reason or other, and quite often the reason is they're drunk or they're larking around in a silly sort of way. So that was overstated.
That's ironic, actually, because they probably ignored the signs altogether and just went in. So,
yes, that's right, because some places are dangerous.
Yeah,
but if you jump in where it's dangerous and there's a warning signs are fine. But the no swimming, well, the basic reason for the no swimming notices was the growth of the health and safety culture and consultants warning landowners as if you didn't try and stop swimmers, you might be sued if somebody drowned. And that, interestingly, was again overstated, because in fact in civil law, and the Lord Laws made this quite clear in 2003, in civil law, if a landowner doesn't take precautions to stop people drowning, provided if he's warned of them that if there is a risk and he's put up a notice saying this is dangerous for a good reason, that's fine. But if it isn't particularly dangerous and somebody drowns, he's unlikely to be prosecuted under the civil law. The Health and Safety at Work Act is slightly different, but again, this problem was overstated, but people still went, and still people do still, and they still do, put up noses is saying not swimming because they're still worried about litigation.
And can I just ask you, the title, which is Swimming Against the Stream, I get the impression now, reading between the title, or the lines, if you can say, you were rebelling, you were sort of saying, you know, enough's enough, we need to make sure that we can have this accessibility to lakes and rivers and lidos.
Is that
what you were trying to sort of say to people in the
book?
That
is, yes. And since then, in the last few years, the tone has changed. RoSPA, for instance, no longer warn people about swimming anywhere in the wild. They now give out advice about how to swim safely.
Yeah.
If you're jumping into a river, make sure you know how you're going to get out again. That sort of message is important, and they've recognised that. But the problem still remains about Londoners being concerned that somebody
landowners.
You see, inland, our land, everybody owns, every bit of our land is owned. And
they're worried about
being sued. Most of our country parks, for instance, are owned either by a private landowner or the county council, say, or the district council. And they tend still to be worried about this. There's a lovely example of this in a country park in Cheshire, where people used to swim for years, and then the council decided to start putting up no swimming notices. And a chap one day still swam and dived into the water and hit his head and was slightly paralysed, I think. And he brought an action against the local authority, and saying that he should have stopped him swimming. They should have warned him that it was no
goodness.
And the lower court, the Crown Court, actually awarded him damages. But then it went up to the Lords, and the Lords said, "Nonsense!" They threw it out.
There
was no particular danger. The man, in fact, was being a bit silly in his behaviour, and the local authority was not negligent. Mm.
Isn't it about time that people just put signs up and say it is entirely your responsibility, whatever you do? Once you put a sign up loud, legally, the farmers are detracted. They are absolutely fine, aren't they?
Yes, that's right.
Just a sign that needs to go up to
You swim at your own risk.
Yes. So part of this book then, Jean, what surprised you most about the book when you closed the book and said, that's it, finished my book? What most surprised you? What did you learn about it?
Well, I learned a lot of facts that I didn't know before I started. I was pleased to see that a lot of people who then wrote books which, in fact, have sold better, much better than mine, wrote about things like, what are the good places to swim?
Yes.
It's a beautiful book.
Well, your book probably started it, actually, Jean. You've got to give yourself some credit here. I'm sure that, as I said, you're a pioneer in this.
There is another one by Roger Deakin, which actually came out before, which is talked about the pleasures
of swimming.
Wide swimming, yes,
yeah.
Which caught the imagination of lots of people. I think that started it off.
Yeah.
His was a book about the pleasures. Mine is a book about policy, if you like.
Yes.
You know, why it needs to change.
And do you think since your book, since researching all this and talking to the people that you had to talk to produce this book, do you think things have changed? Do you think signs have gone up, and as we've talked about just then, that the signs that take it at your own risk? Do you think that's happened? Because it must have done, because more and more people now are swimming.
Well,
swimming.
Yes, I mean, people are swimming, and to some extent they're going back to the places they used to, the places that are attractive to them. You've still got lots of no swimming signs, but you've got one or two places, even Rutland Water, which is a reservoir.
Yes.
You can now swim in. The new places are usually lifeguarded, which means expense.
They're lifeguarded, of course they are, yes. They're Rutland Park, because they've got other activities as well as the swimming, haven't they?
Mm.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. So, but when in the golden days when you were swimming, Did you, obviously there was no health and safety then, but there was still a responsibility within you to look out for the dangers. I mean, it is a natural thing in humans to always be watching over their shoulder to make sure that they are swimming in a place that the water isn't flowing too quickly, or it's if you can't dive in because if it's quite shallow. You do have to take some responsibility, don't you?
Yes, and one of the nice things is that recently there has been lots of emphasis on helping people to understand what the risks are. Helping to, you know, in a river, for instance, there's a risk of getting tangled up in weeds.
Exactly.
And advice on how, if you do get tangled up in weeds, you should extricate yourself. Things like that.
Yeah, and yes. Having a bit of just wild awareness about you, which is... And as I get the impression from Eugene, you really enjoyed wild swimming, and it's been a very liberating thing to literally go out and just find somewhere to swim. And obviously, you can wear the wetsuit as well if you're feeling too cold, can't you? Or you can wear just a swimsuit.
You can wear a wetsuit. For myself, I find you don't... If you're in a river, I like the silky feel of the water.
Oh, right.
If you're in the sea, I like to feel the movement of the water. Ideally, you should be swimming with nothing on because that's best. So I've never used a wetsuit, but then I'm only a casual summer swimmer.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's a part of the summer.
Yeah.
It isn't a serious exercise.
Well, what about the winter? Do you think people are swimming while swimming in the winter?
People do swim in the water and they find it exhilarating and keeps them alive. Some people, they find it's, you know, it's the most best thing they do. But I'm rather skinny. I can't keep warm enough. You need to acclimatise yourself if you're a winter swimmer.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. You need to keep aware of the dangers, and you also need to keep aware of the, you know, the whole benefit of swimming as well.
Yes.
And I was looking up actually on the places that you can wild swim in Cambridge, and I think you've got the River Chelmer near Yalting, and then you've got Santon near the Little Ouse, and you've got Grantchester Meadows and Horton Mill as well. They're all places that you can wild swim.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me that Cambridge has an abundance of places where you can actually go swimming.
Yeah.
But the key, isn't it, is to be responsible, I think. And I'm sure that your book is all about the, you know, as I said before, reading between the lines. It's about going against the stream, actually fighting this whole thing of, no, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it certainly made you do it, hasn't it?
Well, yes, I've been doing it for a long time, but once upon a time, people would raise their eyebrows with horror if I said I swam in the Cam. And now people are accepted that people do swim in the Cam. In fact, there's a river swimming club in the Cam. Well, it's not specifically swimming, but which is in fact the place where back in the 16th century, we know that university students swam.
Yeah.
And some of them drowned.
Well,
And we know there was continual swimming there since the 16th century. And
it
stopped being the university place, and now it's open to anybody, town and gown.
Well, Jean, it's been lovely having you in today, Jean Perriton, and your book, Swimming Against the Stream. It was republished in 2013. So we can get access to that. Is that on Amazon or is it in the bookshops?
You can buy it from Amazon, although the publisher himself won't sell through Amazon.
Oh, right, okay. So bookshops then.
It is updated, yes.
Lovely.
Well, so it's brought up to date.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I think from your book, and other people have written books about wild swimming, and I really do enjoy talking to you. Thank you so much indeed.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Jean.